So, David, where are you going on tour? Let us know.
I'm still doing the Catch Me Inside tour. It's been a blast. I have Spokane coming up on the 16th.
Great town.
That's great. I got Palm Desert. We got a lot. Tysons, Virginia, Richmond, Charlotte, North Carolina, New Orleans. Is it New Orleans? New Orleans?
New Orleans down there.
Is it just Nah?
New Orleans.
At the Orpheum, Orlando, Clearwater, Vegas with Nikki Glaser. Lots coming up. Just go to davidspade.com and get those. And thanks, Dana. I'm glad that you're interested in that.
I would check him out. He's one of the funniest stand-ups out there right now. It's a great show. Cheap tickets.
Cheap, cheap. Rack them. Cheap,
cheap. Rack them. David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The Farmer's Dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients. Safe, clean kitchens, all that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah, I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop.
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old. It's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
And now for a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture. You know the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that may not be for you, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. How? Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends all before you head out the door. Your money's a workaholic, but you don't have to be because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Hello, Dana. We'd like to tell everyone we are starting with Mikey Day today, who is a present cast member, 10-year vet.
We got to know him very well. I might have to say, I don't think we've ever had a sweeter or nicer person on the podcast. We've had many sweet and nice ones, but he was incredibly generous and curious about our careers, which was flattering, but also very self-deprecating. And we go over his tenure on SNL, and he's on there now, and he's got some amazing. What the pumpkin sketch? What's it called?
David S. Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins. He co-wrote a lot of great sketches on that show.
We broke down a few sketches, but mostly talk about the overall feel there. This one was very SNL. And then his co-stars, we talked about us a little bit, which is normal, unfortunately.
We kept bringing, you know, you throw a boomerang and it comes back to you. He was curious about us because he's maybe in the age group when he was like a very small little boy.
Yeah.
I was on
a
the
baby
show.
In a crib watching us. Yeah. He's the old war horse here. He's the grizzled vet.
he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks pretty fresh face for being a grizzled vet. But I hope everyone enjoys it. We had a great time with him. Here he is, Mikey Day.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, this we've had this so many times. The worst was Martin Short.
I know, but
not again.
It's happening. I'm like, I'm seeing my heroes on screen, and then I'm hearing you guys do Lorne, and I'm like, I want to participate in this bit, and I can't. Oh. I can't get out.
Well, what? Where are you? Are you at?
I'm in New York.
Okay.
I'm doing this. I was in this very small role in this Jerry Seinfeld movie in Netflix.
Pop-Tarts.
They're doing like a promotion. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing a promotional day, and it's so funny because it's the only day I've had something. And because it's our 2 week hiatus. So I've just been at home.
Yeah.
And then of course the one day that I have this that I've been looking forward to. And I like went through all my stuff in my home computer to make sure that I'd be good. And then the internet was failing. And I was like, oh God, I see them.
That happens to almost every person we do it. So don't worry.
We don't need another hero. That's very nice. Can I ask you a question? Pop-Tart. Like if Jerry did that, Jerry Seinfeld. Did I ever do Jerry Seinfeld's new album? He's coming out, vinyl.
Go ahead.
It's a vinyl album, comedy album, Jerry Seinfeld. And all is a picture of Jerry and it says, paperclips, why? Sorry.
Paperclips, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Why? But the thing is, Jerry, as you know, is a technician. Like he worked on his Pop-Tart bit for like years, right? And couldn't quite find the language. I felt like I found almost like an Easter egg of a fatal flaw in the bit.
Oh.
And this is what it was. Only about the stand-up, not the movie. That's why I'll be curious if he does the theme. The idea was when Pop-Tarts came, it blew right out of my head. Like the kids went, this is crazy. The fatal flaw, because I'm in the same age group, they weren't very good.
What?
Whoa.
Pop-Tarts.
Shut the fuck up.
No, that was a lot of, you put them in the toaster,
Dana.
Very little jam or good stuff. And that was the fatal flaw. He was playing it like the kids were blown away, but no, compared to a Twinkie or Hostess Cupcake.
Right. They were like,
let's go to the phones. Jerry's on line one right now.
I disagree. That's so funny. Yeah.
That's a hot take.
I used to eat them plain.
Really? But compared to like a Hostess pie, you know, with the crust around
Ding-dong.
It, like those.
Yeah. When I was a kid, those were great. I feel like there are a lot now, but I would, as a kid, would 100% go for a Hostess or a Twinkie over a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, yeah. Pop-Tarts, that's fine. We had them, but I'd be curious because Jerry, the technician, he would have some answer for that. The Pop-Tart movie, when is it coming out? Let's just promote that.
Why not? Just count it as press.
It's in May. I'm not here to promote that.
That's fine. Throw it in the mix.
I don't want you guys to feel like, oh God, he's got to promote his thing.
No,
but it comes
everything.
Out in May. I just found
no,
that
not
out.
At all. No, we're what we do on this show is we like to we vet and we shine a light on SNL cast members such as yourself because it's kind of fun because we've been in the maelstrom, we've been in the war room. We know everything about it and you do too. So David, do you have a question for Mikey?
Yeah. Do you know this Seinfeld bit? I was out the other night eating at a Chinese restaurant and we were laughing. It was all comedians and we were laughing at when he says, chopsticks, they've seen the fork. And they're
but
still
why?
What? They've seen the fork and they're still sticking, just out of spite, they're still sticking to chopsticks. It's very funny, Dana.
He's fantastic.
Jerry will bludgeon an audience in a good way. He will hit like
bludgeon.
He'll go to the grocery store and just go around the store and have these amazing observations. And over time, you're just, my favorite of his was, so they... The caribou, they can't get them out of the forest. And they wake up and they're hanging from the helicopter. What are they thinking? I guess I can fly now.
Caribou?
I'm doing Ed Wynn as a substitute.
I know.
It turned
oh my
into
God.
And you guys know who Ed Wynn is.
Oh, I'm thinking of Paul Lynn. Who did Ed Wynn?
Ed Wynn was like from the 1940s. He was kind of chubby, had a little hat on. He'd go, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo.
Oh, okay, yes.
Did I get it?
Hey, Mikey, have you heard that when Paul Lynn came into a party in the 70s, he goes, Smells like pussy in here, I think.
That's true.
That happened. Fantastic. I think my friend was there.
Wait, did he do the Mad Hatter, Edwin?
Or he that was Paul Lynn did the smell.
Yeah, even.
Yes.
Even.
I think Adam Sandler had a little audio influence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the same frequency.
100%. I am fascinated. First of all, I love you both, obviously. I'm going to be gross.
Thank you, buddy. But
I saw,
we'll take it. Thank you.
I saw Clean Slate in the movie theater, Dana.
Fuck yeah.
94 by myself.
I'm sorry.
And saw... No, I remember enjoying it. And Black Sheep in the movie theater. I mean, Tommy Boy, obviously.
Again, no one was there by myself.
Black Sheep was great.
Black Sheep. Yeah.
I'll tell you about Clean Slate. I didn't really know what I was doing. But anyway, in those days, you'd have dailies. So it was like 10 minutes of the movie. And so I'm in a theater, kind of by myself, I think. And I'm watching the dailies. And I go, oh, it's terrible. How many weeks do I have left? 7 more weeks. It's irretrievable. Uh-oh. But everyone's got a dog in their house. Come on, man. But that's very flattering. You know, when we did we were talking about you a while back, and for some reason I had a mental hiccup, and I kept calling you Mikey Day
on
the podcast.
It was Mickey. In Bobby's.
Mickey. I was calling you Mickey.
You Mikey instead of Mickey. No, it's actually Mickey. No, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's because I worked with Mickey Rooney. I worked with Mickey Rooney.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
what got in my head. But so you were Michael. And how did you become Mikey? Is that a nickname?
I know. I use the...
It's a big jump.
Devin Walker on the show was like, and are you sticking with Mikey in your adult life? This is, you're not going to change it. I was always Michael. And then in college, people just started calling me Mikey and it just kind of stuck. But I think I remember my first year here, the first pitch meeting, Lauren kind of going, Mike, like, is this grown man going by Mikey? Is this what we're doing here? Do I need to call this grown man Mikey? But yeah.
Have you thought about Big Mike? Have you thought
Perhaps
about something?
Big Mike? Does everyone do long when they come on?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a little breath coming. You have a breathy.
Ooh,
Lauren.
That's a new thing. Yeah.
Let's hear you go.
Well,
you look a little like Ed Sullivan. I'm sorry to go back to the 70s.
I mean,
again.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay. You hear like Bill Hader's and stuff. You're like, okay.
Bill
that's
Hader,
a great
who's mind. That little quiet one, is so hilarious.
Right. It was me, Jeff Dahmer.
a celebrity.
Yeah, we always like doing Lorne the bit of him being excited about stuff because he's so even keeled. Just him being like, oh my God, did you hear? Like, it's just funny imagining. Oh shit!
Oh, Beyonce is coming up. Everyone places everything.
Yeah, just about stupid nerdy stuff. Did you see the trailer for Deadpool 3? Oh,
Deadpool 3.
Did you ever go to a Yankees game with him?
Oh yeah, once the Yankees games with Lauren are the best because it was like, it'll be you, Lorne, and Senator Chris Dodd. And you're like, what?
Yes.
The very cool dude, but it's you never know who's...
If you remember, I think he passed away. We're going in Paul and Louis Malle, the French director, is coming with us. You know, it's like,
you're like, okay.
He's never seen baseball, but...
But and it's a grand slam. It's like that thing of like the crowd's really going nuts. Would you like another beer? We love
better
him.
Than a home run because the bases, of course, are loaded. Yeah. So.
Well, it's the fourth inning. Should we leave?
And it's like,
should we take off?
Should we go?
I was there once, and there was a rain delay, so we were in like the restaurant area near those seats. But like, it was so crowded because everyone was in there, and there's nowhere to sit. And it was weird just being like, I'm with Lorne and he has nowhere to sit. We need to fix
this. Do something.
Yeah. And so these We were just sitting at this like large circular table with these very like Yankees fans, dudes. It was very surreal, but it was like 2 hours and then they finally just canceled the game.
Lauren's like, I see one bar stool. I'll catch up with you guys later.
Deuces.
Just drinks up at the bar, slamming shots.
Lauren? I don't know how you guys did the show before like cell phones and text messages, because the amount of information that you're constant, especially on Saturday, did you just call each other's dressing rooms? I guess go.
Yeah.
And just visit people, I guess. I guess you need.
Did you just talk to people?
I know.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, we do that, but like throughout the week, like talking to props and stuff, like we need this and just the constant communication.
I'll say the worst part, Mikey, was for those of you at home, the show is on the 8th floor and not only are the offices on 17, but you still have to cross elevators, I think.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You have to go take two different elevators to get back to your office. And it was all day going back and forth because you couldn't text. You couldn't, if you call someone, they're never in their dressing room. So you have to go look for people. If you could text them, God, the layer of stress of just
it would be too much.
Anything in Marcy Klein running around looking for Norm MacDonald or something. It's just all crazy. So I wish I had that. We didn't have computers, laptops to write our sketches. So we had to drive them in from home, hand them in on paper.
I would write them longhand. Type it longhand up. And hand them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hand them in longhand and then they write, they type
them.
There was like a big stack or something. Cause I think I heard Mike Myers talking about writing up Wayne's World. And he said there was like a big bin or something of scripts. And he would just, he like, put it into the
which is crazy. Put it in the stack, and then they would take it like madmen, type it one at a time. I think we were using hieroglyphics.
Hey,
yeah, and so we just did that, and then you'd get your sketch, and you'd get it before a read through, and you'd be like, "Oh my god, there's misspelling, or they put the host's name wrong, or they put the wrong," and you're like, "It's too late, we're in."
That's insane. Yeah, now you just drop it into the file and onto the server. It's all on the computer. That's wild.
Files and attachments are too much for me. Hard. I wouldn't know.
We had a bulletin board. Look at the difference here. We had a small bulletin board with letters of the week, like maybe 10 letters that you could get feedback from the audience compared to what you guys have now.
Oh,
instant social media.
People going, I hate you.
There were some, you should do this and that, but it was like 10 letters. That was it. A week that we just saw on a board. That was the only feedback.
What? That guy likes me in Indiana. That's insane.
That's one. Looking to save on delivery? DashPash from DoorDash is your door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. DashPass is an exclusive membership with DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts. Whether it's food from your favorite restaurants, grocery from across town, or anything in between, DashPass is the most affordable way to get everything you need delivered right to your door. With $0 delivery fees and lower service fees on eligible orders, DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites on DoorDash. DashPass pays for itself in 2 orders on average. Plus, DashPass gives you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, all for $9.99 a month. Get more from delivery for less with DashPass. $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for DashPass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply. What was, just because people are going to want to know, what was your journey? How much you want to share? You like, you were a theater arts guy in high school,
sure,
college.
Yeah, and then went to UCLA. And study.
Did you have a dream? Did you have a dream of how that would go? And was SNL part of it? Or you just like want to be in show business and want to make a living doing this? Or both?
I mean, SNL was always kind of at the top, I would say. But it just felt so far away and unattainable. Mm-hmm. And then I started taking classes at the Groundlings, and there's so many pictures of there of people on SNL, and so it felt a little more attainable, but it still felt far away and the odds would be impossible. And then I went to college with Nassim Pedrad and Taryn Killam, who were on the cast.
Definitely.
And then they brought me in as a writer. Hmm.
Suddenly Mikey doesn't sound so crazy.
Exactly.
Mikey's like,
sounds
like
a
fox.
Nickelodeon. It sounds like a Nickelodeon show. Nassim, Taryn, and Mikey.
Hey, everybody. It's Mikey.
Hey. It does feel very Nickelodeon. Whoa. On an all new Mikey. But they brought me in as a writer and then wrote for three.
Were you allowed to write for yourself?
Pardon?
Were you allowed to write for yourself?
No, I was just a writer at the time.
Isn't that horrifying?
Didn't you start as a writer?
Yeah, I was a writer performer, which is worse. It was like pretending I could write for myself, but
so
I really shouldn't.
You were like a writer and performer.
Yeah, but no one's writing anything for me, and so I have to write. And then I wheeze myself in two lines, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "No, I'm the teenager." So they're like, no, Mike Myers can put a baseball cap on. I'm like,
you're like,
fuck.
Okay.
I would
go right for the cast.
I would go around to Sandler and Spade would be in an office and I go, guys, come on. Anything this week? Come on.
Exactly. What would.
What do you got for me?
Guys.
What do you got for me?
I'll just go around to the offices going, I can play kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, you can't.
Yeah, can you do a Russian accent? Everything was like, they just poke their head in some good writer and be like, can you sing? And I'm like, sort of. Nope, took too long. You can't. I'm like, God damn it.
They're like, can you do a whatever impression? Yeah.
How are you with a pogo stick? I got that once.
Yeah, I can do it. I can do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Can you do it at the table? Would you guys ever commit at the table to certain bits, or would you always remain seated?
No, we give it everything. I've stood up.
I remember if you stand up, it's kind of like, okay, it's a little bit of a swing.
It's on. You
here
better fucking nail it. You ever
here
go to the piano and sing? People would walk over to the piano and I'm like, oh my God, Cheryl would play. And I'm like, this better be a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, it's mid second half. I don't know a piano bit.
Mid second half of read through. Oh my God, it's hour four.
Yeah, we call it like dead man's curve, like second half.
Okay,
you light up on those last two. You're like coming to a close.
That area.
Dennis would just sit and watch us. Okay, moving toward the ivories in the fourth hour of this extravaganza. Okay,
babe. Dude, I wish Dennis Miller is Dana doing Dennis Miller.
I have a new Dennis Miller. That was that Dennis. Dennis now is sort of soft spoken. Okay, I got a couple shekels in my pocket. Nothing. You want to go back there and visit the old team out in New York City? It's great, Carf. It's not something I'm really up for right now. Okay?
All
right.
Hey,
Spudley, you see what I sold my house for? You might want to fucking Google it.
Because as a kid, quoting you guys was like the cool thing to do on the playground.
Yeah.
And now my son quotes like weird Gen Alpha memes and stuff that make no sense. I feel like for adults, when we would quote SNL, like adults would watch SNL, so you had some context, you understood stuff. But now, like, I have no idea what comes out of my son's mouth sometimes.
How old is he?
He's 11, and he just comes home singing like, "You're my phantom tax, you're so skibbity." I'm like, what,
what
is this? At least I can quote bye-bye and you understand.
Yeah
There bye-bye. You go, bye-bye.
Was Helen Hunt the first bye-bye?
Yeah, there's only two.
Helen Hunt.
Only two, and it blew up like crazy.
And the second one didn't even matter. It was Steve Martin, but we kind of fucked it up, but
I heard you tried one where you said hello as they're coming on the plane. Hello.
Hello.
No, that's John Lovitz.
Hello. Okay. Hello. And goodbye.
You do that.
Yeah. No, we did it once, and then it was on American Airlines. They would play it for the flight attendant saying, this is our reputation. We have to fix this. So every flight attendant might take a flight for 10 years and be like, thank you. I'm like, you're still saying fuck you. Yeah. So it's all bad.
Are we a bye-bye company? No.
When you leave Burger King now on the door, it tapes, it said bye-bye. And I'm like, no.
Bye-bye. Now, no. What do you guys say?
I wrote that with Fred Wolf. Yeah.
Oh.
I wrote that with Freddie Wolf. Fred Wolf's great writer that was on there.
Were you like out of town and you were on the plane and you were like,
no, it was his idea. And he came to me and I'm like, oh, this is just a joke machine. You just put every cast member comes through.
Mm-hmm. Everyone gets something. Some screen time.
It gets a little it gets a little more heated as you go. And Helen Hunt looks perfectly innocent. Perfect one to do it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Do you feel, I have a question, Charlie. Sorry. I'm pinching my face here. Charlie Finnem was on the, his name is right in front of my face. I'm not crazy. He's just one of our producers.
How was the interview? Dana called me Charlie the whole time, but I didn't correct.
But it is on the screen. I'm just curious that you now, you're there, and I was looking at the new cast, and just this whole thing that I didn't have that much. The new guys came in, then I left. But this turnover, you're writing these multiple generations, the Kate McGinnon people and Tarum.
Right.
And now you have, I looked at, you know, Chloe Fineman, you have, I don't know, Ego Widem. I'm trying to get all the names. Andrew Punky. I mean, how do you, are you like sort of taking people on your wing a little bit? Do you know, I mean, you're like, you kind of know the system.
You're a 10-year lifer,
you're
right?
You're like Brock Purdy as a quarterback. You know the system.
I know how it operates.
But well, so when people come in and they watch you and you're in so many things, and we'll get to your superstar sketches.
Sometimes.
Do they ask you stuff? You feel you can help them out, or what's that like with new fresh recruits coming off the?
Do you box them out? Do you ice them? Do you get in their heads?
They look like the aliens. You know, they look like Amelia Earhart coming off the mothership in Close Encounters.
Deer in the headlights, babe. Yeah. I would like Joe Kasem, like first table, but. I mean, I feel like it's definitely very friendly. I've definitely heard stories about kind of the show in past years. Uh-huh. It sounds kind of intense and the competition. Maybe those stories are like blown out of proportion as the years go on.
Not really.
But I feel like if it's very friendly and everyone's,
you know what it is,
nice,
Mikey? It's like The Bachelor where they're all friendly at the beginning and then it gets down to like,
and then it starts
to the show time
the
and you're like, wait, you're still here? And it's either you or them. Yeah. And it's just The Bachelor, they're always friendly until toward the end. And then they're like, can I pull you aside? He's been really saying shitty things about you. And they're like, what? And like, no, I'm just saying, I just feel like you should know.
Well, the freakitude of somebody getting loose, like going out and making a hit movie, or you know, then the kind of the apple cart is sort of rocked a little bit. Mike and I, with the freakitude of Wayne's World, at a certain point they would bring in giant like stuff you'd put laundry in with fan mail. You know,
that it is, was, I can't imagine being on the show and a couple cast members were in a movie that was not only successful, but Wayne's World was like an insane, insane cultural touchstone. And you guys were still on the show.
Yeah.
And yeah, then, they were bigger than the host sometimes.
Yeah, it would be like, when would you decide to do Wayne's World? I remember as a kid, like they would air it on Comedy Central. They would air 1 hour reruns and taping it and waiting for the little Aurora, Illinois, little cable access graphic. Well, and that's how I was kind of introduced to that era of SNL. I remember when I was little, my dad showed me some rerun of Coneheads. Like of SNL, it was Coneheads on Family Feud. I'd never seen the show.
Feud is a fucking great one.
What did you
like? Name something you bite into, and Dan Aykroyd's like a trapeze. I was like, what?
It's so funny.
Is this? I love it.
Name something you eat with eggs. Fiberglass.
Yes. And Bill Murray's so gross. So like.
It's so,
smarmy
fucking
and
funny.
And, but
yeah,
those sketches were long back in the day. I was like, this is 11 minutes? Right?
They'd go to a commercial and come back to the end of the Family Feud sketch.
Yeah, you're like, 11 minutes?
But you know what? I just saw your, there was a couple funny ones. We're jumping around, but when you were in the car recently. With Quentin.
Traffic altercation one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That was one of those sketches that you look at and you go, oh man, What a brilliant notion.
Tight, very well done.
And yeah, did you write or co-write that? Or
has an ending.
Yeah, I'd done it at a very loose version at Groundlings and Sunday Company a while ago, live with Kevin Burnson, and was like, I wonder if you can adapt this. I mean, I had to change it a lot for the TV.
Cameras, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool that they were able to figure it out, though. It's funny, they all, whenever there's cars and sketches, they bring in these massive black sedans. And so we both, you can't really see in the sketch, but we're both driving, I think, identical massive black sedans.
Yeah. Like, hey! Generic, just huge
TV cars. Like
Packard from the 50s.
Just gross inside.
I did like at the end, they pull away and then you can see for 1 second the green screen and how you got, because I'm like, I didn't see the camera at the beginning, but then, and then I thought it was a pre-tape because they were showing you from down here and her close up.
Yeah, they did.
And then when they pull away, I go, oh, it is live. Because I remember Lauren used to say they always would rather have it live if they could. And and that was a great one.
I mean, it's cool when you can try to play with the, I guess, parameters of live stuff. Like, I write with Streeter Seidel, and Streeter Seidel and I write all the time together, and we're always trying to think, like, what's something kind of different we could do to play with the medium? Because it's cool if you can score with a live sketch, because the pre-tapes, you just have more time, and you can kind of play with it a lot more. And I think people are more used to seeing film stuff, you know, online, but to have something that works live and kind of resonates with people is a lot of fun.
Sorry, just live, something can go wrong, even in a great sketch. It just gets tilted.
Yeah.
There's a miscue and it can unravel even a great sketch. So for this one, it seemed like you landed it probably the best of the week. I mean, it really landed.
It felt great. It definitely, Colin Jost, because there's a moment when Chloe, who plays my daughter, Chloe Fineman, she is miming like, you suck. And she's using
the funniest.
She uses both her hands. And then Colin Jost in the hallway came up and pitched the joke. He was like, you should say, I don't love that you use two hands, which was one of the funniest lines in the sketch.
Big laugh. Like, her doing that was funny. You saying that was funny. Calling her a bitch and pointing at her was funny. And then you did it was hilarious.
Yeah. And that
Quinta
was,
Brunson was perfect in it as well.
She did a great job.
She was great because at the table, I was like, there's a lot of gesturing. And I kind of gave her an example, but you can't really script out. You know, like,
there's too many.
Move your left hand. So she kind of was on her own at the table to kind of sell it and figure it out. And she was great. She totally got it.
And when you're watching Cards, you don't know, like, if you're watching Cards, you're like, oh, wait, this is the one where I have to go my left hand and I have to stay in frame and I have to say this and do it. And then you're like, now the next one, oh, wait, eating is this. Oh, yeah, I point back, you know, that in my, you could just see people thinking, because it looked hard in my head going, shit, if I was there, the cards have to be perfect. You have to either write on the, remember to do this, or, you know, you have no notes. You're just like, okay, we've rehearsed it probably twice this week. That's it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I remember during the blocking of it, there was an issue with the window and the reflection, and you could like see the camera and the red light. And I was like, oh, we're going to get screwed because of a stupid reflection. Because I've had sketches go to dress. And there's like some sort of reflective surface and you just see the red light and the flipping of cards the whole time. And you're like, no,
they're going to cut it.
Yes. You don't, you can just hear what's going on under the bleachers with Lauren and the writers. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's
what the fuck is happening?
Torn to shreds. But it worked out in the end, which was awesome. And that's kind of the thrill of it when you're doing something kind of different.
And I would say, just for myself, is a sketch like that, like you guys are both doing this physical comedy. The argument is escalating between the drivers. And then we get to, in real time, see what you do, how you're going to mime out your insult. And so even people in a bar, and it's kind of loud, would probably watch it and laugh. So you got going
you
on.
You figure it out.
All the time. And then it escalates into sexual things. And had a really sweet...
As they all do.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Guilty as charged. Naughty bulbous parts. Throbbing in... But this other one that got called out recently by our friend Ben Stiller is another amazing sketch. The
home movies sketch.
I know. I don't...
Right.
Yeah. He's
that was written by Dan Bulla and Stephen Castillo.
Bulla.
Bulla, Bulla.
Bulla, Bulla.
Love them.
They gave me a great part. It was like a little present. They're like, here you go. Can you do this? It was so much, so much fun. And then Ben Stiller, such a kind, wonderful man, tweeted that.
He is a very sweet person.
Yeah. Like, you didn't have to do that, man. And you gave me swag for a week. It's so funny at that show. You're like, I'm feeling good. And then you'll have like a bad sketch bomb at table read. And you'll be like, I suck. I'm the worst. What am I doing here?
The next week, Ben goes, I saw the worst sketch ever on SNL this week.
Yeah.
And it was the same guy.
Get that guy off the cast.
Isn't it bizarre? It's the same guy. Let's check it out.
What
least
happened?
Least valuable player.
True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. Now, you're out there. You have acres and acres, hundreds of acres. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. No. Weed control, which you hate, fertilization, aeration.
Can't stand it.
Among others. They'll do all that, so you can do literally anything else. Dana's out there like Yellowstone. You have better things to do in your free time. I know you do. You don't want to focus on lawn care.
True Green is too good to be true, is what I'm saying. But it is true. Right, David? Because you're going to have more time to do things that you want to focus on.
All the hard work, and it gets you to a great lawn. That's what you want. You take care of everything else you got to do in your life. You're very busy. Let True Green take care of this one thing. Get it off your plate.
You know what? I do have some space. I want to put some grass down. I might. I'll call you later.
Talk to True Green. Where can listeners purchase or learn more? You go to TrueGreen.com. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour.
Whoa.
They offer a satisfaction guaranteed, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. That is such a cool thing.
Good job, True Green. You're nailing it. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Oh yes, you heard me right. You can talk to an actual human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
I'm going to start tweeting compliments at SNL cast members. I just hit me how lonely it is on that show sometimes. You know, 1 week you're like, I got one or two, three things at work. And then next week,
crickets. It's strange. It's kind of the best, I guess, best and worst part. Because even if you have a bad week, you're like, oh, all right, there's always next week. And it literally starts all over again and you can turn it around.
What did you think that, so that Biden's been passed around for a decade now. Nobody, Woody Harrelson, everybody, Matthew McConaughey.
Everyone's doing Biden. He's a puzzle.
He's difficult. He's not, you know, Trump is obviously easy.
Just a madman spewing insane things.
So many hooks, and James is still teasing out hooks.
We love Ramadan. So funny.
And then Biden is in this frequency that's very difficult, you know, energy wise, because you can't yell. Like I could kind of with Ross Perot, I could be, you know,
can't finish anytime,
physical and loud. You know?
I just want to quote all your guys' old stuff.
Can't finish. I like that one.
I'm enjoying this podcast quite a bit because this notion that you right now are having mm-hmm. somebody who's watching SNL for the first time going, did you see that guy, that traffic sketch that guy did? Didn't even know your name. That funny guy. Yeah.
That traffic thing was funny. Is Biden's kind of, we'll see, but I like that traffic one.
Well, but no one has really solved Biden in studio, in 8H, which I think is a rock and roll room. It does, it can be quiet. It can,
yeah.
But generally speaking, if you have energy at home base, it's helpful. You know,
yeah,
you're the first
you
get
be
so.
Out there.
And he whispers, but
yeah, because he's into this. I mean, back in the day when he was doing, you know, the running with Obama, Sudeikis played him. It was so funny. He's like, yeah. It's Biden time, because he was like, I'm going to get on a train and just sit and sing malarkey. And like old school Biden was very like, I've had enough of your shit. I'm going to call you out. And he was very
up
had
and
that
happy.
Temper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny
and he's
teeth.
Kind of now he's this kind of older man, and so you don't want to go out there and be like lose your train of thought, because it's kind of sad. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing.
That,
yeah you're
just,
right,
when he loses his train of thought, it's because, you know, he's, you know, an older
it's
dude.
Like he got hit with a dart gun in the neck right before the speech. Then he's like,
What was I saying?
Hey.
Yeah.
He's unplugged. His batteries are going.
I mean, the only thing I could do is just try to make it silly, you know? So I have that Hunter Biden is the only one who can really understand him. Hey, how you doing, Dad? Yeah, it's going to survive. No, I already ate, but maybe tomorrow night. Okay, so what I'm saying. Yeah, I can go
lasagna.
So it's like not going to do it. It's like not going to do it. I mean, you got to just go, just make up what Biden might be. And that just.
Right. And then that's funny. His son's the translator. Dad. Yeah.
Does anyone know what Hunter Biden talks like? I mean,
I know.
I just figure he's kind of a dude. He looks like he's kicking it on the planet.
He's just like an older finance looking dude. Yeah, I do not know how he talks.
Does any guy host ever come in and say, I want to play Hunter?
I don't know. I don't think so. I know Pete played him. And he was on one of those wheeled hoverboards. That's all I remember. He just kind of passed frame on one of those hoverboards, I guess, because he's like, oh, I'm a young kid. But I don't know if anyone's like cracked Hunter. Yeah, because I don't even know what he sounds like.
The public doesn't know. I mean, he gave that little speech in the Capitol, but
yeah, you just kind of know, like,
it's a generic guy. Yeah, there's not a lot of voice that the public is aware of. I'm not.
Yeah,
so I just go like this. Hi, I'm Hunter Biden. When in doubt, just say the name of the person you're doing.
I know. Oh, 100%.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hunter
it's Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden just walked in the room.
I'm Robin Leach. I'm famous. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
She's know all my why. Characters.
That's, I mean, you guys were
gagoo, 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 ga.
I think Hollywood,
Chloe,
Hollywood Minute is the first time I heard the phraseology of, hey, the 19,
somebody
whatever
called.
Which, and I liked it first time when it was culture.
It was called,
I believe it was pioneered there.
Phrase, David? Because that is like a thing in the ether now for, you know, the 80s called wants their shirt back.
Yeah, yeah. They did say in that Rolling Stone Saturday Night Live thing that was started there.
Wow.
I think so. I hope so. It still hasn't gone away. It got kind of tired a little bit, but it still pops up in commercials and stuff.
But now it's just kind of like a
it's just out there now.
Accepted insult. Package.
Yeah. By the way, when I was watching the Super Bowl, Heidi Gardner, she was in the Super Bowl more than Travis Kelce.
She's a huge Chiefs fan too. So
she was in like
makes
every
sense.
Third commercial.
Yeah. I didn't even know too. I was like, Heidi? She's awesome. She was at Groundlings as well. So
she's a sweetheart. She came on and talked to us. She was great.
I know. And, she's like, I did Fly on the Wall. I was like, oh, you did? Oh, I don't
those guys don't like me. I don't know. Do you think they'll ask me? Do they like me?
We want everybody.
We haven't talked to everybody. Bobby on.
Bobby Moynihan. We should get Taryn on. You know, Taryn Killian.
Yeah.
Taryn Killian, who's had an incredible run on that show as well. And
What about Is It Cake Day? And I have to ask him about something about Is It Cake.
That's a cool show.
Wait,
that's
a game. You guys know what Is It Cake is, and you're over the age of six.
I like it.
Kids love it.
Of course.
Oh yeah, it seems just fun.
It's so. When they first told me what the concept was, I was like, "What?"
You're like, "Is that all it is?" And you go, "Yeah, but there's a show there."
It feels very much like the show is aware that it's called Is It Cake and play. There's like a lightness to it and there's kind of an innate humor to it because of how ridiculous the concept is. But at the same time, it's really cool to see what those bakers do. I mean,
no, they do a great job with it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But kids have responded to it and it's remarkable that they love it, not just the end game part. They like are really into how they create these bakers, how they create cakes, which I guess maybe it's like almost like a magic trick seeing how they do it. But it's really interesting that kids respond to it.
And then it stumps all the dumb celebrities. They like that part.
Yeah. They're like, although Ego came on and did very, very well. She was really good at it.
Too well.
She would find.
She won't be back.
I know. You're like, it's weird because for the judges, they're like, if they find it, you're in danger of not winning money.
I just did a game show. And the funny thing was, I was telling Dana is they want some comedy. They all want some comedy. And obviously that's why they get you. And then when you go out there, do they try to juice you to be a little more energetic?
There is always in my earpiece
like
another one, a little more energy.
We'll have some more energy, have some fun out there. Yeah. Explain the rules again.
Yeah. You're like, my least favorite part is explaining, like, if they do miss, then they'll go into the prize pot for another $25,000. However, if they're spared, and you're like,
I know. Like, and everyone's like, we heard that right before the fucking commercial. We know about the goddamn prize pot. And you're like,
show me the T-Rex that's made out of cake.
Yeah. Someone hit it with a hammer and we'll figure it out.
But I mean, everyone involved with that show is fantastic. Like they're very like, do whatever you want. It's not like, so we need to do it again. They're very like, yeah, just have fun with it. So I've been lucky in that respect.
No, it sounds like a fun one. It sounds like a cool one.
You guys got to come on.
I'll come on.
We got to go. You're cutting out.
I'll come on.
Dana and David gave a very mixed possibly. No. So
we've got
a
couple verbal. We've got some soft yeses.
I'm going to talk. My team will reach out to you. I like that.
Polite pal.
Team is discussing it.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/wall to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/wall. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I had to learn.
Hey, qué pasa?
Oh, hey.
Hey, qué pasa?
Is that what they say when you walk into sushi?
I think that's what's happening in Spanish. Qué pasa? Qué pasa? David Ospero.
I had a difficulty learning German in high school. It's a very tough language. I did it through textbooks and a teacher. I would have rather had Rosetta Stone.
You know, you not being able to learn German is very, very interesting.
But stupid.
But stupid.
Now, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. We know this. Available on desktop as an app. Truly immerses you in the language you want to learn.
Yeah, this is planning a trip to Italy, and I think Rosetta Stone is my ticket to speak a better language.
Hey,
I want a pizza pie, but I'll be saying it in Italian. Hey, I want a pizza pie. Sounds like
that's better
English, but it's still that was.
They
Italian.
Say, do you want to sound perfectly fluent, or do you want to sound like Ratatouille?
Honestly, trusted experts for 30 years, David, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. You want to hear some?
Yeah, the
Spanish,
big ones.
French. Oh, Spanish, French, Italiano, Sturman, Korean, Chinese, Javanese,
careful,
Dutch, Arabic, Polish.
Fast language acquisitions. Rosetta Stone.
Should I read that straight?
It immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and you think in the language, Dana. That's the hard part.
No, I do like their process. The intuitive process picks up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention, David, because we all took Spanish in high school, and all we can say is donde está la biblioteca.
Yeah.
I can find a library, but nothing else. Rosetta Stone is a game changer.
It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. We said the desktop, the app options, audio companion, you can do it offline. It's amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. That is a steal. I'll say that in English, a steal.
Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Fly on the Wall listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
Visit rosettastone.com/fly. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/fly today. What about David S. Pumpkins, Dana? Remember we had Tom Hanks on, we were laughing about that.
A singularity as a sketch, as odd weirdness, one of my all-time favorites. And I know
that's awesome.
Well, you know it's just special. I don't know how to describe it.
Do you know it's working?
I don't know. It was so weird. We wrote it. It was like 4 a.m. And I had gone to Disneyland all the time because I grew up in Southern California and I forget when Hollywood Adventure or whatever there.
Yeah. Where things
California pop out. Adventure. Yeah. And then there was that Tower of Terror ride. That's what I'm trying to get to. It just very, to me, lends itself to a sketch format with like a doors opening and something crazy, closed doors again. And then, so
funny.
It made us laugh, but it's funny because there's no like hard jokes in it where you're like, okay, well, that's at least we know a joke. It's all just I'm weird, and then them
and then it works though.
And when
it works with that shit.
Well,
it's
could
crazy.
I insert this my point of view on this? Some sketches are so funny you can't really laugh at them the first time. But then later on, you'll laugh more because there's so many questions. Why are they in this right? Who is this guy? Why is the other? There's all these questions in your head.
Yeah.
When you start to process it later on, it just makes you smile. I mean, Hanks's commitment to it and joy of it was so funny. And then you guys being the people reacting, it was just perfect.
Oh my God.
It is perfect.
On read through day, in between the first and second half, you know, you meet with the host and kind of briefly tell them like, okay, you're playing a crazy German man in this or whatever.
Yeah.
So we told him, so you're just kind of this guy, David Pumpkins. And he talked a lot more in the first version, but we're like, you're just kind of a really upbeat and friendly and like you belong there. And he's like, okay. And so, I mean, he's Tom Hanks. So we committed, but, And I know we've talked about this. I think Bobby mentioned it, but in between dress scenarios, like, I don't know if I have a read on Mr. Pumpkins yet. There's nothing to laugh. So then he on air.
He's won two Academy Awards. Oh, so he did something else with his hands or something for air.
On air is when he was really like, he
weirded it up or something.
Yeah, he kicked it up to like insane because he's. You watch the first one, he's just like staring slightly off. He's just a complete madman, but it's like the power of Tom Hanks and coupled with like Halloween and kind of the feeling in the country. It was like right before the election. I just feel like all the ingredients were there, but it's been awesome to see. Like I'll see online of, you know, kids and Halloween costumes and dress their dogs up as the skeletons. And there's a dude at Universal Studios during Halloween who wanders the park as which was like, funny. All right, that's
made
great.
It. That's
when you. I love a Halloween costume. If you can get a sketch to be a costume, that's 100%.
Yeah.
Big. Also, a lot of these sketches, as Dana knows, the first Coneheads, the first Gap Girls, the first almost first anything doesn't do that well because they're taking it all in, like Dana was saying.
Yeah,
they don't know until. A lot of times on SNL, you just hammer it home till they're like, all right, we get it. Fuck, stop
it's
playing.
It's a thing now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. And we're telling you it's a thing. But sometimes these organically, they turn into... So the next time you come out, if you hear enough about them, so you do it again, then they're all ready and they get it.
They're on board.
And then it does way better. But sometimes the first ones are crickets.
But how would you guys know, we should keep doing this? Because it was
letters.
I don't know. The first Hans and Franz bombed.
Yeah, really? I'm sure.
They thought we were going to lift heavy weights or something, and all we did was berate imaginary enemies with what we
do
would,
me now and believe me later.
Yeah, we'll come to your house and we'll put the shape of your flab into a rope ladder so you can crawl back down in the sewer because that's where losers live. And the audience is kind of like, who are they talking to?
Why are they mad at me?
Why are they mad at me? I still do it to this day. It's just sort of fun to be sorry. Mikey
and you guys
Day
did.
Is our guest.
Look at Mikey Day, girly man with your petite frame. You're a grown man.
Ooh,
like
little V-neck t-shirt.
You Ooh, better not with your V-neck. I'll snap that V.
What are you working on now? You're coming out in another 10 days, 12 days from now with a show. Have you got a little something you can share with us in your back
pocket?
Who
is it? Do we know?
Keep it quiet, though, actually.
Do we know Shane Gillis?
Who's that? Who's Shane Gillis?
All right.
He's a stand-up, very successful stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm. No, we know.
He was actually... He got hired to be on the cast and then all that stuff went down with
You didn't say the word fired. You said he got hired and all that stuff went down. He got let go.
Let make this stuff go down, please.
We're going in a different direction.
He's landed on his feet, but that was sort of an odd, bizarre situation.
Yeah, it was
anomalous, what will it be like? How does the have you talked about it?
I'm
as
not
a cast?
Sure. Yeah. I haven't really talked with anyone about it. It was just kind of, so we'll see.
No one says anything there.
It's quiet. Information is currency.
No one's going to sit you down and go, what we should do.
Is how are you feeling?
Act like it never happened. No, I think Shane is funny as shit. And I think it's cool. SNL has him back. Good.
Well,
we
talked to him about that podcast and I asked him, you know, I don't know if it's a line of demarcation in a sense. Was he doing an impression, a character of someone who says things like that, racist things?
Right.
Or, and he said yes, but he didn't make it clear.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and all that comedy things get thrown in. Podcasts used to be just underground in basements. It's just like guys talking to each other. It's almost like a CB radio. And then it comes out and then you go, I don't even know what I said on that. And then you're like, oh, because you're talking to your friends. So, yeah, I mean, I think he paid the price and you learn from things and move on. But it's nice. Everyone says, hey, the guy's funny.
We paid the price, but now the price is right. I mean, he's doing very, very well, Shane. And he's
you paid the price and now the price is right.
I say, exactly. Bring back pumpkin. Bring back my favorite pumpkin, but have Shane do the Tom Hanks part. I don't know.
Everyone's like, in unusual, in the middle of February, they do up David Pumpkins without Tom Hanks.
Oh, does that suck? You can't do it until.
Oh, unless you'd have to do some special whatever. I don't know. But
we did another one with Tom Hanks and. I think a couple of seasons ago.
Yes. He was just in town at that time.
Yeah.
And called.
Like, you want to do?
Oh, right.
David Pumpkins.
Tom Hanks is in town. Anybody?
Tom's in town. Maybe throw on the pumpkin suit.
Actually, the bigger the star, the less energy. Tom's here.
Okay, let me. Let me.
Tom who?
That's such a funny observation.
Barack Obama was dropping by.
Oh, he doesn't say his name. He goes, Barack.
Barack.
His Obama?
Royal Highness.
No. Barack Higginbotham.
Vladimir Putin is in town. Anybody?
He's circling the building.
Okay, do it on a scale of these five sketches. Blink, what's your favorite? Nursing Home with Kate McGinnon. American Girl Store as the creepy guy.
Okay,
Genetics
wow.
Lab with Sam Rockwell. Live report, you and Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie, yeah.
Well,
is that
four.
Live report?
Yeah, where Margot Robbie is.
I'm just her husband, and it's a news
report. Is that the husband that they can't believe you're together?
I honestly, they were so playing you as funny. Like it was an impossible matchup. So but I didn't really see it that way,
Well, that's very nice. I mean, I look at myself next to Margot Robbie and I go, that is an impossible matchup. I would be like, he must be a billionaire.
Right.
Yeah.
But all
that's me
four
with
of those
every girl
really,
I dated
really,
in my life.
Really crushed.
Yeah, the dog one is fun. We've done that a few times and it's always fun because it's usually a writer who has to go down and be the dog's hands.
Right.
Your
genetics lab
dog.
Where they make a dog, part dog, part human.
We just say dog head man. And then the last time we did it was Martin Hurley. He was down there from Please Don't Destroy down there doing the hands, which is funny because he's, such a funny dude. And
yeah.
He's on camera in these videos and we're like, hey, can you,
yeah,
bend down and snuggle up close to this dog and pantomime.
You need funny hands because a funny guy can get a couple extra laughs out of the hands.
Exactly. Yes. So we ended up going with
anything
Martin.
Else for this kid, Dana?
I mean, I have so many questions for you guys. I have to come back on and just ask you guys questions about all your sketches.
We like being asked questions, but no one ever asks us any questions.
No way.
Cares.
Way. That's completely insane. I mean, I grew up with you guys, so this has been awesome. And I'm not going to be able
worse,
to listen
Dana.
To it.
He's like, well, I grew up with you guys. I remember when I was one, and I'm like, God, that's getting worse. Like
before I was born,
school.
They told me about you guys. I mean, no, that was very formative for me.
I would say I won't get... I said I wouldn't cry, but this is kind of why you...
I don't know if you said that.
Why you want to do this is that... it could be money, fame, all this stuff. But if someone, once in a while, someone will come up to me in an airport and say some bizarre sketch I did, and that me and my friends reference that once a month. You must be getting stuff like that with some of your sketches by now.
It's nice to hear.
It is nice.
Sometimes. If I was in an airport and saw Dana, I'd say, Mr. Fung, on the night of the murders, you shampoo?
Oh, now
your
you've
hair.
Just blown my mind. That you just blew
that's
my mind.
That's that one.
That's a stand. Dana had a stand-up special on Comedy Central that aired all the time.
Yeah, in the 90s. I did a 10-minute
Clark
bit on OJ. The premise of the bit was for OJ to be. It's either he's guilty or he's framed. Let's unpack him being framed. 165 people had to participate spontaneously that night. We're framing OJ. You in? I like OJ, but it's just too good. And it goes on. And then I do a Marcy. What's her name?
Yes. Marcia Clark. All my years as a prosecutor.
And then Johnny Cochran. Why are we even having a trial?
Oh, yeah.
Just as the cool. I think he plays jazz trumpet at the end, right?
Like, Your Honor. if I'd like to have sex with Your Honor. Just the his effusive compliments.
And if I may, I'd like to play some jazz trumpet. You know, whatever.
Oh my god.
You've made my day, Mikey.
I mean, and then David, I could dork out on Tommy Boy for
a perfect movie.
A long time. I'll never be able to listen to this. I'm gonna be like, oh, you're such a dork. You just spent so much time going, I love your guys' stuff.
No, Dana was just texting me that.
This guy sucks. Edit this down. Maybe
no. We got a solid 10 minutes in here somewhere.
You know what, Mikey?
I can't find anything.
I do that all the time. My persona on this podcast is I do compliment people and I go, maybe it's too syrupy, too over the top. But I assume most talented people have an inner critic somewhere. Am I any? Because what? Where's this drive coming from? Am I really any good? So it's good to hear it from. If you respect us or like our work, just to say, yeah, you're kicking ass on SNL. You're doing great.
I wildly respect you both. You guys are very kind individuals for how legendary you are and the roles you've played in my life, especially. So talking to you guys was like truly a thrill and I appreciate it immensely.
Damn.
I would love
that's nice.
Come down and weirdly quote lines at you. It's weird when you just kind of throw a quote at someone, but it's like that stuff is so ingrained in me. So you just want to say, I know this to the person.
Yes.
I do it to people too. It's fine. I like it. I think it's compliment.
When you're sitting there writing a sketch or a stand-up bit and you're meticulously trying to find the key to the kingdom, basically, and you find it, and it's just a few words strung together, and then someone quotes it to you 30 years later, you're like, ooh, they really heard that? Someone heard that? You know?
Yeah, so it's weird. Cool. You kind of forget about the audience at home when you're doing SNL, you're just like so focused on the studio audience and how it is received. You're like, oh yeah, there's people at home who watched it. And sometimes people will reference a sketch that, you know, aired, but you thought, I don't know, I guess it's like a C+, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it's easily forgettable. Yeah. And then someone will go, I love that one. And you're like, you saw that? Great. That's fantastic.
Your Donald Trump Jr., by the way, is a really, really funny take. And I assure you, you to get recognized for that because you wear the wig and you.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. That people will be just play him like a 1980s movie villain. Play him like the guy who's like, I challenge you to a ski race.
Yeah.
Whatever. And if we win, we're going to tear this thing down.
Yeah. It's kind of like alpha frat boy energy, just coming super competitive.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
The
Trump guys.
It was fun to do, with Eric, with Alex Moffat.
Moffat.
Fun to do the brothers.
He's hysterical. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mikey.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the
Dana,
compliments.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
We appreciate
it. Sorry about my technical issues at the start. You guys
Not
are
at
awesome.
All. It was an absolute pleasure. And you're a good man. David, final thoughts?
Martin Short took 2.5 hours to get on, so it's fine.
Never worry about that.
Oh, my God! No!
This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please follow, subscribe, leave a like, a review, all the stuff. Smash that button, whatever it is, wherever you get your podcasts. Fly on the Wall is executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Jenna Weiss-Berman of Odyssey, Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment, and Heather Santoro. The show's lead producer is Greg Holtzman.